Welcome to The Correct Opinion, the official podcast of themovieblog.com. I'm Ryan, and today we're joined by Anthony and Jim. So Anthony, what do we got going on this week?
Yeah, so it's a busy week for us. You know, we've got a guest this week. A lot of stuff happened online as far as Marvel announcing a plethora of films that they're going to be releasing for like the next lifetime. What do you guys think about what Marvel announced this week? I know we probably had a few other topics. This is the one that's on the top of my mind.
Black Panther.
And, yeah, I was going to touch that.
And you know what? I think I saw 42. I think it came out last year, and I thought he did absolutely phenomenal as Jackie Robinson.
So, I saw Get On Up this year, and oh my gosh, he's a really great actor.
Yeah, and you know what? I think with both of those films where he's portraying like a really iconic character, it's only fitting that he would be the first black superhero in this new Marvel Cinematic Universe. I think he's a very fitting character. He's got the build for it. He's got the look for it. I mean, I'm all for it.
You know, I'm always going to be a little disappointed that Adewale Akinayu Agbaje, forgive me, I call him AAA, out of BC from Oz. We've seen him in a few films over the years. I'm a little disappointed that this film wasn't made 10 years ago just so he could play that role. But if they're going to give it to anybody, I'm so happy they gave it to Chadwick.
Unless they do an aged Black Panther, and then they better pick Idris Elba, because that guy needs to just blow up, because Idris Elba, he's my pick for every superhero.
I think he should be James Bond. I think he should be Captain America. He's one of my favorite actors right now. I try not to promote him too much.
Definitely. I know Denzel was campaigning for Bond, but he's
old.
Yeah, but
yeah, Denzel's like 60 or something.
And he's also not British. And like, if you've seen Luther with Idris Elba, like, he is phenomenal. That's like,
he's very British. He is so British. I can't even believe that he pulls off an American accent as well as he does, because that's not natural.
Yeah, and he's a big dude too.
I remember watching Prometheus, and he just pulled off that southern twang so perfectly. I was like, was this guy raised in Atlanta? Like, what is going on?
Oh, and then he had that Bond sex appeal with Charlize Theron. Like, I mean, she's already kind of hard up and like, no, I'm not going to have anything to do with any of you. And he just gives that Bond suave debonair, like, well, I'm available. And then pretty much like just two words, he pulls the James Bond. And she's like, fine.
The only problem with him playing Black Panther is that he's already Heimdall.
Yeah, I know.
He's already Heimdall.
He shouldn't have signed on so early. We needed him for a much bigger role.
You know, I have this conversation with Elliot Hopper. I don't know if everybody from the website remembers that guy. I have this conversation with him all the time. He always says actors are practically committing career suicide by not trying to get into a comic book tentpole film at this time. These things are
definitely.
You know, I look at Ryan Gosling, I look at Leonardo DiCaprio, I look at all of these actors who might be considered elite, but this is something they need. You know, Matt Damon, this is something that they're going to need to support their careers in the long haul. I'm wondering when they're going to all get on board. I'm sorry to cut you off.
Oh, no, that pretty much, right on board with what I was saying.
Now, you posted earlier this week Tom Hardy is being considered for Apocalypse.
Yeah, that's I don't know how I feel about that. I love Tom Hardy. I think as Bane, he did a great job. But, and you know, everything fits for Apocalypse, but just there's that one thing that I can't put my finger on that I just don't want him in the role. I think
it's because he already did it. Bane was Apocalypse.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. And then I think we'll have a lot of that too. We might have a lot of that Bane voice even, like, because Apocalypse with his voice, you know, they're going to have to do some voice editing on that. So
yeah. Jim, you're familiar with Apocalypse, right?
Oh yeah, definitely. It's one of the most iconic, I think, X-Men villains there is, and the most, you know,
outside of Magneto.
Fearsome.
Right.
Yeah, but I think Apocalypse the most, you know, the toughest for them to kind of get around, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's the most ferocious of them all.
When yeah. Apocalypse shows up, you need more than five people. Hands
right.
down.
He was one of the first super villains that they really overpowered, that got that 1990s overpower, like, I'm invincible in every single way, I'm immortal, I'm the first mutant, I've got whatever power you want to give me, I've got it. Like, I mean, it was, he was essentially like the Superman supervillain.
Who would you like to see play Apocalypse?
Oh, man.
You know, it's such a character, it's kind of hard. You know, it's going to be mostly costume or CGI, so you don't really are going to get the, you know, you can't really notice the actor is going to play behind him. I think it's going to be one of those that could be anyone that could really play.
Well, you've got to look at what Bryan Singer is going to do with the character. He might Bryan Singer's taken a lot of creative liberties with the X-Men franchise, so if he
yep.
decides to make Apocalypse look a little bit different, we might not get this brooding, super jacked, like blue sentient being. We might get someone who's pretty much just a regular guy, kind of like we saw with Bane, like more on your level, but just
right.
kind of has the mental superiority more than anything.
Mm-hmm.
When I first heard that the role was going to be available, the first thing that came through my mind is, why the heck did we have to lose Michael Clark Duncan? This is his
oh,
role.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
this is his role. You know, it's him. It is him. He shouldn't have been the Kingpin. He should have been Apocalypse. And, you know, unfortunately, he passed too soon, and we're not going to be able to enjoy him giving us that performance. There's a few other people I would like to see in the role. A part of me, and it's a small part, mainly just by voice, but a part of me would love to hear Ron Perlman take on the role. I know he doesn't have the look, but he has that visceral voice
yeah.
that I'd like to hear. There's a few other people. I think Apocalypse is going to be a tough role to fill, personally.
It's going to be very tough. It all depends on what Bryan Singer does with the character.
I'm glad he's back. He definitely rejuvenated the X-Men franchise for me. I had almost completely abandoned it and just went Team Marvel. But, you know, he's given me reason to believe that Fox might be able to pull out some winners again.
Well, I will admit there's probably a 10% of me that's wanting him to kind of fail so Marvel can get their franchise back.
You know, we know that Fox is not going to let this go. This is a potentially billion-dollar franchise if they just have lightning strike, hands down. And the same thing with Spider-Man. You know, Sony is in that precarious situation where they're uncomfortable with necessarily letting the reins go of Peter Parker. So it's one of those things that we know that Marvel has had great success in the past, but other people might be able to do a good job too.
Yeah, I think it all comes down to organization. If they like, I think, you know, I think at this point it just might be their egos more than anything. No one wants to follow the Marvel formula because they don't want to look like they're copying it. But
right.
really, it's just an effective or well organized piecemeal formula that works.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know what can fix that. I'm actually worried for Marvel. You know, I understand they announced a lot of upcoming films. They don't really exude a lot of confidence to me, because I feel like they're burning through a lot of their recent major storylines at a much faster rate than they probably should, because the following storylines that they can adapt are characters they don't have the rights to.
Yeah, there's a lot of gaps there. We all know the Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch gap, where they can't call them mutants and they have to call them miracles. But then they're going to have an imbalance with the Inhumans, because the Fantastic Four had a big relationship with the Inhumans, so they can't
right.
incorporate that. You can't have Spider-Man with the Avengers, and he actually played a pretty big role in Civil War. So
didn't Marvel get Galactus back?
No, they didn't. I don't think they got Galactus back, because I think that still falls within the Fantastic Four realm. They got
swear
Blade,
they sold
Punisher,
some characters back.
Yeah, Blade, Punisher, and Ghost Rider.
Okay.
I'll tell you what, I would love to see a Punisher movie done well. That's what Marvel needs to get on.
I feel like I'm over it.
It'd be the third attempt, really. I mean, you did two different actors for the roles. I really like Thomas Jane in the original one. I thought the movie sucked, but the casting was really kind of spot on. I thought he was a great Punisher.
I love Thomas Jane.
They actually had two really good actors with, is it Ray Parker?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, with Ray Parker and Thomas Jane, they both did it well. It's just
scripts were awful.
Yeah, and I mean, that's just what it fell into. They need a very gritty Punisher. Just don't bring Dolph Lundgren back.
No. But it's like, if they are going to get a gritty Punisher, who would that be at this point? See, these roles aren't as easy to fill as, like, you know, I'd like to see them do it, but it's tough.
Well, no, just not off the top of my head, but I think a lot of people, I could even go back to saying that Thomas Jane could do it when he did,
right?
He did that short for the Punisher with Dirty Laundry. He did that himself, and I think he would make a great Punisher just off of that. I think it all comes down to just the script itself. They've got a ton of people that can play like a gun-toting vigilante.
Yep.
So it just comes down to a good script. That it needs to be well executed, much like The Dark Knight or The Godfather or something along those realms. Like, it needs to be something with a very strong plot and a very good director.
Are you guys familiar with Jim McNulty? No? Okay, Jim McNulty, he's from The Wire. He played Dominic West in The Wire.
Oh,
he was like one of the main guys. He was like sleeping with everybody. He was one of those guys that I felt like kind of had the look and probably the demeanor to probably bring the Punisher to life early on.
That's a good call.
I want to see if Marvel is digging in their crates for actors like this who are great. You know, they're clearly looking at HBO. They got their recent Thor director from Game of Thrones. I'm hoping that they continue to dig in the crates. What do you guys think of our Doctor Strange?
I love Benedict Cumberbatch. It's not it's not confirmed yet, but he's definitely – I love him. I love everything he's done. Right now they're just in final negotiations, but so I wouldn't put the nail in the coffin yet.
It's the right guy at the right time. He's got such a following now. I mean, he's one of the hotter actors in Hollywood now with the movies he's done recently and coming off the Star Trek. And the guy just touches everything and it turns into gold. So this is the right guy for them to cast.
I disagree.
Well, I knew that. I could tell by your tone.
I don't like him. Let me rephrase that. It's not that I don't like him. I think he's a solid actor. I don't think he's right for this role.
I think it all depends on how he's going to look with the facial hair.
You know, with Joaquin Phoenix, with Johnny Depp, I could kind of see it, you know, when those rumors were flying around. With Benedict Cumberbatch, I kind of see what they might do, but it just feels tame because they're taking the safe choice.
I don't think he's necessarily safe. I think he's more – I think he's one of the first actors that they've really signed that they're trying to sign on that is a fan favorite and a fan pick. I think the last one we had that was a unanimous fan pick was Patrick Stewart for Professor X.
Right. Bring Ed Norton back. Let him do it.
That's an interesting name.
He's not somebody that I've been thoroughly impressed with while seeing in film. I've seen him in Sherlock. I've seen him in a few smaller films. He is serviceable there. Did not like him as Khan. That is a personal opinion. I know it's not that he did a bad job. He just didn't give me the reaction I was looking for. You know, I wanted to see somebody who gave me that that menacing feel. And he's just like, oh, it's that guy who delivers my mail. He's a bad guy now. But I just didn't get that from him.
I think the character kind of just fell into the negatives of modernization. When you look at Khan back in the day, he was this this very 70s-ish or 80s-ish like barbaric character, and J.J. Abrams modernizing everything gave Khan a real sleek kind of genetically engineered look, you know.
I was really into the idea of Benicio del Toro playing the role. Something about him is just scary. he's just a scare. He's just got that intimidating look almost. He almost looks like he just might rob you at any given moment.
I think after his edgy role in Fear and Loathing, I've been scared of him ever since. Like he's just a wild card. I was just like, do not want to be around him.
You know, he gives me that impression that I was, you know, when the rumors or when the negotiations were there, and it's part of the reason I shy away from looking at casting news or even posting casting news now. I married myself to the idea. I started picturing the film in my head and it seemed awesome. And then what I got wasn't what I had hoped it to be. So it is what it is.
Yeah. And big A, this is a big movie weekend coming up at the theaters. We got our movie Nightcrawler that we've been talking about for a long time coming out this weekend.
Not Marvel's Jake. Nightcrawler.
No,
not that one.
No, but Jake Gyllenhaal, he's a creepy dude in the previews that I've been watching. Like I don't know why his eyes seem darker. He's got like a little crazy look in him. I'm really looking forward to this one. You know, it's got a lot of people that I like involved in it. It's got Rene Russo, it's got Bill Paxton. I'm big on directors and supporting cast. It's being directed by Dan Gilroy. He's pretty spot on. So it's one of those films that I'm really looking forward to.
Do you know, have you guys seen Californication?
I've seen episodes. My girlfriend tends to watch it without me. But let's not even go there. But
I feel like Jake Gyllenhaal reminds me of Rob Lowe's recurring character in that, Eddie Nero, who is pretty much that guy that does the most extreme things for a role. I feel like Jake Gyllenhaal just falls into that where his role prep is probably leaps and bounds above weird and what any other actor would do to prep for it.
Yeah, I mean, he's done it the last few films. You look at Prisoners, he completely added those quirks with the eye twitches. That was all him. That wasn't in the script. So he's really kind of been doing a lot of character work with his roles in the last few films. You look at End of Watch and then Prisoners. I mean, those are two classic examples of him just really taking the role to another level. And this movie looks no different.
I really liked End of Watch. I so loved End of Watch. I like that Jake took some time to do smaller films. I remember he did Prince of Persia a few years back, and that's kind of why I refer to him as Chesty Jake. He had that big chest thing going for him in that film. I like that he went back and took smaller films to refine himself as an actor. It seems like he's sharpened his pencil, so to speak. I'm seeing a much better performances out of him. I'm seeing a guy who makes me believe he's somebody else more often than I used to in the past, and it's just been a pleasure.
You know what else he sharpened his pencil in?
Woo!
Brokeback Mountain.
Yes.
Oh. I'm not touching that.
Also this weekend is what? John Wick. That's this weekend, right?
That was last weekend.
I'm sorry. We have Ouija? No, that was last weekend as well. Shit.
Yeah, so I'm telling you, this Halloween, I'm surprised that there's no horror movies. They're redoing the Saw again, kind of remastered.
Well, they have Horns this weekend. That has Daniel Radcliffe, right? Mm-hmm.
But this is all about pretty much Nightcrawler this week. That's a big movie. And you'd be surprised, I mean, to almost think it's Halloween night, and this is the perfect opportunity to, like, throw at your best horror films of the year. You know,
there's really no horror films besides this.
No, they're just like doing a Saw kind of a remake, not remake, just
re-release.
Yeah, in a sense that they're gonna just re-release Saw again, but that's it. No original horror movies or anything this weekend, which is shocking in a way. This is the ideal night. Halloween, people would be going straight to the movies to see a horror film after trick-or-treating or whatnot, or after, you know. And it just, there's nothing out there.
Shame on you, Hollywood. You dropped the ball.
Big time.
This isn't going to happen for years. So enjoy it while you can. This is your first Halloween on a Friday and God knows how long. Sorry you dropped the ball. Any other big releases we wanted to touch on this week? Or
no, I think it's all setting up to November 7th. The following week, we're going to have Interstellar. I think that's the big wait coming up now. That's the big film that really is going to be make or break for the fall and winter season, really. And that's the most anticipated film coming out. So that's, I think that it's the quiet before the storm, really.
You know all what right. I just read? I read that Christopher Nolan, on this film, he actually they actually made a scientific breakthrough because he actually hired an astrophysicist, and he had him working so accurately on depicting a black hole that they made some sort of the guy's actually getting published based off of his work because they created a visual concept of a black hole that is more accurate than any other concept that's ever been created.
Wow. Wow.
So that's Christopher Nolan right there.
Such a nerd.
Changing science.
He's such a nerd, but I love him. In Nolan, we trust. All right, well, I know we want to kind of wrap it up. It's been a pretty long show, but I want to just touch on one thing before we end it. Michonne got her sword back on The Walking Dead.
Yes.
I know we sometimes segue into TV. I can't help myself. I love this show. I'm hooked. Jim, are you a fan?
I want to be a fan. I just can't seem to find time. I'm focusing my TV time now on Gotham and getting into Flash. So
okay, well, I'm cutting you off on that.
I am off of this conversation.
The Walking Dead has not disappointed a single episode this season yet. And I can't remember the last time I could say that. I love it.
I'm in full agreement with you, man. Like, I got to say that I was so upset when I saw Michonne, I think two episodes ago, reach for her sword and she had to use a gun. I felt a little tear. I did. I was just like, no.
It was almost like a graduation. Like, oh, okay, I'm glad that you're letting go of part of that part of your life. But I really like seeing you cut zombies' heads off with that thing.
Yeah,
it was really sharp.
And she gets it back.
Now, this episode was really epic. Jim, sorry, you're gonna get spoiled. It is what it is.
Yeah.
There were so many great moments with Bob. I'm tainted meat,
tainted meat.
You know,
I love that.
Rick, I think it was Rick who did that shot through the church and shot that dude's fingers off, like from across the room in the dark. Oh my gosh!
And then they were like, "Obviously, you're not gonna kill us because." And he was like, no, we just didn't want to waste the bullets. And pulls out a machete and just, yes, that's
just
badass Rick.
Now, this season really changed. You know, obviously, it kind of teetered in the last season and a half. You know, the biggest threats clearly aren't the people that are dead and walking. It's the people who are still alive and killing. You know, we're coming across a lot of things. There's a lot of topics. There's a lot of little subplots within that show. Tyree obviously didn't kill that guy in the cabin because he came back and he ate Bob's leg.
And we need some Tyrese, man. That is a big, overpowering guy. Like, he could be an asset. Why aren't you killing?
Just don't let him be Apocalypse. Let's not get carried away. You know, he's a big, intimidating guy. I understand, you know, especially with him and Carol and those girls and... Yeah, that was a little sad. You know, I kind of understand. You know, they're going through post-traumatic issues. You know, there's a lot of things where people are still adapting. Obviously, Rick has gone over the hump, and he's just bloodthirsty. I'm really curious about Carl because we literally watched him grow from pubescent to I think he's shaving now. There's a lot of dynamics of this show that really has me excited. We may have to start up just a second podcast just for that.
You guys are all on that one, I guess. I need to get back to Earth and start watching Game of Thrones and this show because that those are two shows I have not watched at all.
Wow, I feel sorry for you. Well, at least you're doing school. You've got a good excuse. You're in grad school. You're working on your career. You've got a genuinely good excuse to not be watching television.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to watch Gotham and Flash. You know, we tend to talk about it. And just to see if it's getting any better.
Stop watching Gotham. I give up.
I gave up. I really gave up. I'm not the only one. Thank you so much, Ryan. Once I saw the weatherman handcuffing people to balloons, and no, this is not the show that I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, it's too drab for me.
I like the actors. I really like the cast. I really do. I don't like the storylines.
I like the cast except for, I know you love her. Fish
she's
Mooney,
hot.
I know, but.
No, she's not great in that role, but she's just hot. And the reason I don't like
the main guy is Jim Gordon.
Why?
Ben
McKenzie? Really?
Yeah, Yeah, he's too OC. In fact, I think he was on the OC, wasn't he?
He was.
Yeah.
I think he's trying to play a little bit too serious, almost in a sense. You know, he gives, you know, to me, it seemed watching some of his episodes, his reactions are kind of like Christian Bale, like he's got that little gruff to him, and
bite,
you know,
your tongue.
Yeah.
It should have been Chris Maloney. That's my thinking.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, you know, all right, he's not doing SVU. He's been doing this for years. He's a natural.
Get him in that role. Too old with the cast that they have. I mean, Ben McKenzie kind of fills in that middle age group, but I think Maloney would be too old. Remember, we have Poison Ivy and Catwoman basically as preteens, or, you know,
barely. Jim Gordon's not a young guy when Batman grows up.
Yeah, but it seems like they're playing him to be in his, like, early to mid-30s in this role, in this film. I think that's kind of the portrayal. The guy is not 40 for sure, so I think they're going for Ben McKenzie's real age in this portrayal in the show.
Yeah, but
so,
the way he looks now, he's going to end up looking like George Clooney once he's Gordon's age, like in the comics.
Well, here's the thing. When I started this show, I was hoping for a Law and Order cop by the book story.
No.
Just let it take place in Gotham. Maybe interject some little crazy stuff, like there's some vines that are going crazy and this lady needs to get arrested because she talks to plants. I would like that idea. It's a little bit too much comic book, too little police, in my opinion.
I think they just can't find their balance. They're just looking for, looking for what they are. They're trying to discover themselves, and it might happen a little too late, and they might get canceled.
Yeah. Well, I don't think it's going to get canceled. I think they are trying to find a little bit of balance, but I think you got to stick with the comic book theme. I mean, you don't want to compete against Sophia Bush on Chicago PD. That's you can't touch that.
Well, they don't want to alienate the obvious core audience of people who are just, you know, Batman fans, people who saw Christopher Nolan's films and they see this Gotham in between their football games and they're seeing Fox is promoting it. I'm hoping it's like that. That's not what we need.
It's what we deserve right now, but it's definitely not what we need.
Right. You know, 10 years ago, I would have been like, you know, great. Let's get a show that's about comic books. Be real comic book about it. Now, after Smallville, after Flash, after Arrow, I'm realizing that's not the kind of television I like. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is one of those shows that has that balancing issue.
Yeah, of S.H.I.E.L.D., I need my rocket science degree to watch that. So no thanks. I'll pass on that. It's too smart. I feel like I need to be some like brainiac or in a lab or something to understand that show. It turns me off big time by the dialogue in that show.
I get that. I can see that definitely. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., it's like if you didn't study the Marvel Universe for 10 years, you might not fully appreciate it. You know that. They're going to bring in characters from the Marvel Universe. They have Adrienne Palicki playing Mockingbird, and I'm glad that she's on television. I know she wanted to play Wonder Woman. I love seeing her in G.I. Joe 2. I don't know if this is her break, you know. I'm actually personally concerned. I don't even know if Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. should get another season. Personally, I'm kind of interested in Agent Carter, but I don't know if this is what I want.
Yeah, I don't either. I think these characters are a little bit, for a TV series, they're just too, they don't have enough, I guess, character in itself to them, you know, to run a whole season for a TV show. I just don't know where these storylines are going to keep on coming out from. At least with Gotham, you have a lot of original characters that people are familiar with, and there's a lot to choose from. You're going to do Agent Carter. I mean, who else could you really include on that show? I mean,
I don't think Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is going to go anywhere, though, just because they have
it's
the Marvel.
It's their temple. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if anything starts going south, they're just going to say, hey, RDJ, can you come in here and do a quick cameo? All of a sudden, ratings soar and back on top.
Right. I was hoping that instead of Agent Carter, that they would have considered a Heroes for Hire show. I thought that would have been a wonderful weekly, able to come up with new stories type show. You know, people who have ability but are grounded in real life, day-to-day situations that affect the everyman.
Isn't that in talk for Netflix still?
No idea. You know, I'm still kind of looking forward to Daredevil. I'm apprehensive. But I'm hoping Marvel continues this method of expanding their universe, continue to give us those great stories. I'm still worried about Phase 3 and their film selection besides Black Panther. Black Panther was just awesome. But I hope they continue what they're doing. You know, they definitely have the right goal. They definitely have their ambition set in the right direction. It is a little bit shaky, but I hope we get what we really want, especially as a comic book fan personally.
Yeah, and I think that sums it up for this week, doesn't it? We don't want to give it all away.
Ryan, don't feel intimidated and interject. Talk over me, dude.
I think we can cut this into two podcasts, honestly.
All right, well, I think that's a good way to end it. All right, well, it's been a pleasure, guys. Thank you so much. Ryan, thank you so much. Jim, good job. Any final thoughts?
Looking forward to the next 2 weeks after Nightcrawler comes out and Interstellar. I think we're coming into a good time period for films and the meat of the TV season.
I'm so looking forward to hear what you have to say about Nightcrawler. We've been, you know, promoting this one for a while. I really want to know your thoughts.
Yeah, I'm definitely seeing it this week and can't wait for it. I have high expectations, and I think that I'm going to actually live up to them, and the film is. So, yeah, high expectations. I think it's going to be really good. It's going to be a surprise hit of the fall, and can't wait to talk about it.
All right.
And my final thoughts are, Jim, get your priorities straight and stop watching Gotham.
I'm just waiting it through till The Bachelor starts, you know. I do a podcast on that too. So there you go.
And last but not least, Kenny. I just like mentioning him in our podcast. Where are you?
We need to get him on this.
We need to get him on this. But you know, thanks guys. It's been a great show. I can't wait to touch back next week, see where we are. It looks like it's gonna be a quieter weekend for film, but I'm sure there's going to be a lot of great stuff to talk about next week for our next show.
Absolutely.
All right, for everyone who joined in, thank you. This has been the Movie Blog Correct Opinion Uncut. Is that right?
That is right.
Thank God, yes.
Twice.
All right. Two in one show. We're on a roll. Thank you guys for joining us. It's been the Uncut Movie Blog.
Correct Opinion
Uncut. We'll be back next week. Take care.
See ya. Yeah.